very much for giving me the opportunity to talk about my research on the microbial iron reduction in suburban wetlands as a key process of the fate and the mobility of organic carbon. This is a collaborative work with UC Berkeley at Colorado State University and funded by the USDA. So as we all know, the iron and carbon cycle in the environment are closely linked. And that's a schematic profile. Do you have a
pointer? Yes.
Oh.
We had a pointer.
Okay. 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 That's a schematic diagram profile of a wetland, and we are focused mainly on the anoxic layer. So the anoxic layer, we know that we have microbial-mediated redox process. We're looking at the microbial iron reduction, and iron is important because it's one of the most abundant elements and it interacts with organic carbon. So we now have an input of organic carbon, and we have the reduction part of the iron, and then the oxidation of organic carbon, and this can be polyreleased as CO2. So, and like all biochemical reaction, also the reduction of iron and the oxidation of carbon are temperature sensitive, as we already learned. So, and I learned this morning from other at other talks and other sessions that the climate change is particularly interested in when we are at higher altitude or lower latitude. And that's why we studied subalpine wetlands in the Colorado Rocky Mountains. This is part of the USDA Fraser Experimental Forest. It's a very well monitored site. So we have several wetlands there that's just like a not very good map of the site. But what we have to know, check a short description of the site. So the altitude is about 2,700 to 3,000 meters. The temperature is a temperate continental, we have a temperate continental climate. That means we have cold, long winter, and very short, cool summer. So that's the vegetation there. I was there in September. It was very nice weather. And we have conifers and aspen. It was very nice. So that's the left diagram shows the soil temperature in one of the subalpine wetlands over a year. And what we see is that during the winter, the temperature is close to zero. And then it rises during the summer months to about 18 degrees Celsius. So, however, the prediction for the Colorado, for the Rocky Mountains, is that the temperature will increase by, will increase by 2 to 5 degrees Celsius in the next 90 years. So that will have an effect on the soil temperature. So we will have definitely a shorter period where we have 0 degrees, and we have probably will increase the temperature here to more than 18 degrees. So that will definitely increase all the redox reaction in our soil. So that's why our research or our hypothesis is that the climate change and particularly temperature rise in the subalpine wetland will accelerate the iron reduction and the carbon turnover. And for that, we study the effect of the temperature on the kinetics of the microbial iron reduction and the consequent DOC release. So what we know, we have a temperature increase that will lead to a higher microbial activity. And as I said before, it's a microbial-mediated process. We have redox reaction. So we have the reduction of iron 3 will increase, and the oxidation part, the organic carbon, will increase too. So since wetlands are important carbon sinks, the carbon sequestration will decrease and the release of carbon will probably increase. So for that we use a flow-through flow-through reactor experimental setup. And why we use kinetics is important for to develop a predictive model for the release or for the turnover of organic carbon or the iron reduction. So we studied one wetland. It's a depressional wetland, and we sampled. These are our sampling points in a wetland. So we took a soil core from the center of the wetland, which is permanently waterlogged, and then from two different sites, points where C represents just a temporarily waterlogged soil core. So this soil core, that's just the schematic profile, we took undisturbed soil slices of a length of 2 centimeters, so that's about 2 centimeters, from two different depths, from about 30 to 40 centimeters, and then from a deeper horizon of about 60 to 70 centimeters. The difference there is that we have higher organic carbon in the 30 centimeters and lower organic carbon in the deeper horizon. So in all my following graphs, I will label it as top and bottom, because we have it for the three different sites and two different depths. So we put this undisturbed soil slice in this wonderful flow through reactor cell, seal, close that tightly, and put that in an anaerobic chamber. And then what we do is, like, again, our drug schematic diagram. So we have, we put in an iron 3, aqueous iron 3 phase as iron MTA, and run this through the soil core and collect the outflow and measure in the outflow the iron 3 concentration and the DOC. So since we are interested in what the effect of temperature is, we ran this experiment at three different temperatures, 6, 12, and 18 degrees, which more or less represents the temperature we expect in the soil temperature which we have right now. So that's just a picture how we collected. We collected in centrifuge tubes over time. So we apply 5 different temperatures of iron, that's the time, versus the iron concentration in the effluent. I just show it for 2 of my soil flow through reactor experiment, otherwise would get too busy. So these black lines represent our input solution at different time points. So we run the experiment. Then we put in a known concentration of iron MTA. We have the breakthrough of iron, and then we reach a steady state. Whenever we reach steady state, we increase the iron concentration and reach steady state. Based on the input and the output, we assume that must be reduction of iron 3. So we can calculate the iron potential iron reduction rate using the equation, so the difference between input and output, our flow rate, and the volume of the soil core. You see here the steady state iron concentration versus the iron reduction rate. And as you see that we have, with increasing steady state concentration, we see an increase in the iron reduction rate. However, we reach a plateau for all data points. And that is a Michaelis-Menten type kinetics, which is defined by this equation. And we can use this equation to plot all our data point to calculate Km, that's the Michaelis-Menten constant, which shows the relates to the affinity of a microorganism or an enzyme to a substrate. Here in our case it's iron 3, and R max represents the efficiency. So just keep in mind that a lower Km means a higher affinity of the microorganism to the substrate, to iron 3, and the higher Km means a lower affinity. So in our results here show for the three different sites. Here is site is the center of the wetland, and here is the edge of the wetland. And these are our three different, so we calculated the affinity of iron 3, and then at three different temperatures. And what we see in all, for all soil cores, for all depths, that the highest affinity of the iron reducers is at 12 degrees. So why 12 degrees? I forgot to mention that in the summer months, the highest temperature in this region is 12 degrees. So we have a range of minus 10 to 12 degrees Celsius. So the highest affinity at 12 degrees, which means that the iron reduction is, of course, temperature sensitive. And what we all know, that's a very common diagram which shows for microbial reactions that we have for growth rate or enzymatic activity. So we increase the temperature, we increase either the growth of the microbes or its somatic activity until we reach optimum. But if we have reached optimum and increase the temperature further above that, the enzymatic activity will decrease. And we see the same thing for our KM value when we look at the affinity. So as you just remind you, when we have a higher KM, we have a lower affinity. So that means we have 6 degrees, we have a lower affinity, we increase the temperature, so we have the highest affinity at 12 degrees Celsius, and we go to 18 degrees with our experiment, and bam, the affinity goes down. So just that was one part of the redox reaction, just shortly, because it just finished recently this long experiment, which was over 5 months, and I just started 7 months ago. So it's a decomposition of the organic carbon, and that's what we see, that here we plot the iron reduction rate versus the DOC release rate, and for all different sites, and what we see they strongly correlate, so nobody can say, or I think we cannot say it's not a microbial mediated process, because only we have an increased iron reduction rate, we have an increase of DOC release. So overall, what we can say that the iron reduction is highly sensitive, and that it's an enzymatic affected process, and right now the optimum temperature is at 12 degrees, but what's going to happen if really the temperature in the subalbumin methods will increase, well, how long does it take the to shift the temperature optimum for this iron reducer? So we are doing, right now we're doing some tests and changing temperature, and then the rate of DOC release increases with increasing iron production rate. So, yeah, and then thank you for your attention, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Okay, we have time for questions for Krista.
So, your optimum temperature for those samples is 12 degrees.
Yeah.
Do you think that optimum would change with different soils?
Yeah, I mean, there are papers about my speaker before cited. They show that that we have with different latitude, they study different latitude and the temperature adaptation of enzymes, and this clearly shows an adaptation of this environment. I think when we look at the other site or other wetland where we have higher temperature, or the annual temperature is higher, then we might see this for the same microorganism a different optimum temperature, because it's quite low, the optimum temperature most. For most microorganisms, what more than 20 degrees.
Sorry. I'm just waiting.
Very interesting that I meant to talk about. So I'm curious if you have these systems are not carbon limited. I mean, when you're thinking about the activities and the enzymes are not fed through, or?
So, what, again, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
so you can probably, what people might criticize, they can say, okay, you are adding MTA, which is all actually a you would measure DOC with MTA because it is an organic compound. But there is a study from Lovely et al. Who showed when under anaerobic condition you would never, the microorganisms don't use MTAs as organic carbon source. So I can clearly say input can subtract the input from the output and from this MTA. And then so everything what the DOC means is coming from the soil, from soil organic carbon. I cannot do any CO2 or something, I haven't done that. So.
One more question.
Yeah, the carbon we should look at the temperature, that was from the surface.
No, that was from different soils, from the top and from the bottom, all follow that. I mean, more or less. Some of them have slightly shifted to more tendency.
But one of the explanations is that, say, the algae at the average temperature is 30 degrees.
So then,
so the surface soil will have this temperature, the subsurface will have this temperature.
Probably, but the thing is that the adaptation of enzymes is always above the optimum temperature. So if the annual, when the summer temperature is 12 degrees and the soil temperature is like also 12 degrees, the adaptation will not be exactly 12, it should be